Morning, everybody. Yay. Welcome to our Sunday service. I was in there heating up my coffee and I looked at the clock. I'm like, oh my goodness, let me go sit down. So here I am. So let's see what we're doing here. Oh, I know what we're doing. We're going to greet one another like we always do. So let me get this off my screen and play us some music so we can do that.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
say okay. I was checking the weather report. Regina said it didn't snow in La Vida. It did snow here a couple days ago, but yesterday it was almost 70. So that's just Colorado weather. Wow. All right. So let's see what we're going to do now. Now we're going to do our statement of purpose. Our purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. Awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And then I will also read you one of our core values, the one that's most pertinent to what we're going to discuss here today, and that is core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. Let me read it again. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Sip of this coffee. And read you our announcements. First up, registration is now open for our next MPP class, Introduction to Sufi Thought. It's best to call Sufism a way of experiencing reality as love itself. Wow. They call Sufism a way of experiencing reality as love itself. Sufism is about connecting with the intuitive parts of ourselves, so that we can attune to the highest vibration in the universe, which is pure love. It's about joining together in the mystical heart. What is this mystical Islamic religion which has produced great seers such as Rumi and Hafiz? What do Sufis believe about God? What does it mean to totally empty yourself? Join us for Introduction to Sufi Thought and discover the heart of the Sufi by experiencing it directly within yourself. This class is 5 weeks long. It's offered on Tuesdays, November the 12th through December the 17th. It meets from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific. Homework for the class begins on November the 5th. The facilitator for the class is Reverend Doreen Bonnet, or Bonet. We can't decide how to say her name. I can't. Registration for this class closes on November the 3rd. For more information on Introduction to Sufi Thought, look for it under Retreats and Classes on the menu bar on our website. All right. Next up, join us for this month's Movie Watchers Discussion Group on October 27th at 8 p.m., that's 5 p.m. Pacific, in the Awakening Together Sanctuary for a discussion of the movie Click. In Click, Adam Sandler plays Michael, an architect who is given a universal remote that's truly universal. With it, he can take control of his life, freeze a scene, fast forward, reverse, mute the sound, select the chapters of his choice, and even witness his parents at the moment of his conception. The movie essentially involves a workaholic who uses the universal remote to skip over all the bad stuff in his life and discovers in the process that he's missing life itself. And I am going to give you all a preview. I think, let me go to the right place.
The most off force in the universe, the most powerful device ever created, is now in the hands of one man.
Cool.
You wanted a universal remote. That remote controls the universe.
For me to do those documents, it's going to take me months.
And you better get started. Wow, I got a big headache.
You do?
So I can re-experience any part of my life I want to.
I heard a song playing on the radio this morning.
We have a song?
The song that was playing during our first kiss.
What the hell was that song?
Oh my God.
Get it. That's my boy.
Linger was playing during our first juicy kiss. You look beautiful in that pink sweater.
Honey, you remember what I was wearing?
I love you.
You too, honey.
Yeah. Skipping the shower and skipping getting dressed. And look sexy. I like that.
Have you been drinking, Daddy?
The remote.
Making up.
Click it.
Is that my parents?
They're making you.
Get me out of here!
Takes control.
This thing's broken. Keeps fast forwarding on its own.
What else did I miss?
Adam Sandler.
You look a little pale there, pal. Let me fix that.
Don't get the Hulk angry. You won't like him when he's angry.
Click.
Plants a cat?
Yeah, but your kid stinks.
A regular Derek Jeter right there.
So that'll wake you up, huh? So it's a fun movie, as you heard in the introduction, that you can figure out what the main theme is, but it's well worth watching, and will be fun to discuss on Sunday, October the 27th at 8 p.m. So please watch it before then, and be sure and join us at that time. Okay. Oh, I should also tell you there's a play sheet available for the movie, and the link to the play sheet can be found on our website under To Read AT News, and then just look for the movie announcement, and it'll have the link to the play sheet. Next announcement. This is exciting. You may have heard Dawn announce this already. The first 2 hours of the fall retreat The first 2 hours of the fall retreat will be broadcast live in the Awakening Together Sanctuary. Yay! That will include an interview with Brian Tom O'Connor, the author of a book called Awareness Games, Playing with Your Mind to Create Joy. During the first 2 days of the self-awareness retreat, Regina will lead participants in self-awareness practices, including the games from Brian's book. We decided to interview Brian in the sanctuary and play some games with everyone. So join us from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, October the 20th, live from the fall retreat to play self-awareness games and to meet Brian Tom O'Connor. And that leads us to the next announcement. Because of the annual fall retreat, we will have a special Sunday schedule for next Sunday, October the 20th. The sanctuary will close at 2 p.m., so that'll be right after we have our 2 hours with the fall retreat. We will open in the morning for our regular program schedule, including the Karen Worth meditation, the Sunday gathering, the half-hour fellowship time, and then, of course, like I just said, we'll be broadcasting from 12 to 2 from live from the Awakening Together Fall Retreat, and then we'll close for the day. Of course, we'll resume our regular programming with the general healing classes on Tuesday, October 22nd. So just take note of that special schedule for next Sunday. All right, I'm going to share my screen with y'all again. I will play our opening song, so let me find it and then share it with you.
It's a pity, it's a downright crime. It happens all the time. Wanna stay little daddy's girl. Wanna hide from the vicious world outside. Don't cry. No, the tears will do no good, so dry. Shipwrecked on dry land. Your mama, she's a bitter bride. She'll never be satisfied, you know. And that's not right. But don't cry. You know your tears will do no good, so dry your eyes. Comfort you. I've tried to tell you to be patient, 'cause they are blind and they can't see. But you're gonna come one day, all gonna fade away. Your daddy, the war machine. Your mama, the long and suffering. this long. Be thankful when it's done. Don't you ask for more. You should be grateful. Oh, but I tell you life is short. Be thankful because before you know, it will be over.
Thank you.
Okay, sweet. Now we'll have a moment of prayer. And I just, I really want to express my gratitude for everything, for the opportunity to be here in this community and express my love for each and every one of the people here and for every single event that I encounter in this lifetime. I am so, so grateful. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, so we have a special guest this morning who's going to be our reader, and that is my husband, Tom Conway. It's interesting that when, let me get him on the camera here, see if I can. There he is. It's interesting that they're saying they're waving hi. Do you see them?
Oh, hi, everybody.
when it came up, my turn to do the gathering, you know, the reading came, actually all of it came really, really quickly, including having Tom read. And Tom doesn't normally join us, but it came up in my mind, Tom should be your reader. I'm like, that's weird. Let me think of somebody else. No offense. and then I was sitting with Regina doing some work on the next year's budget. And she said, are you ready for Sunday? I said, well, I have my topic. I have my reading, but I don't have a reader. And she said, well, how about Tom? And I went, well, it kind of seals the deal there. So anyway, Tom's here to read, and I'm sure he's thrilled to be here, aren't you, Tom?
I am. I'm delighted. It's been a long time since I've been on the air. So it is really delightful to be here with everybody. And so I'm going to start, and I just want to let you know that the clock here says that it's 8:37, and so it's telling my mind that it's 8:37, and if I'm in my mind, it is 8:37, but if I'm in my heart, it's right now, and so that's where I'm coming from right now, from my heart. So the living, pardon me, the reading is something that Jacqueline picked out from I don't know where, but it came about. And it's called Living from Our Deepest Knowing by Dorothy Hunt. Experientially, there is no realization, and I'm going to, the first two sentences, I'm going to just to preview, you have to really pay attention to, because I've really had to stay present with these first two sentences to kind of put it together. Experientially, there is no realization without being, which is a cessation of becoming. Paradoxically, there is no flowering of that realization without becoming, which is our willingness to be transformed by our realization. Let that sink in for a few seconds. Realization is not an attainment of ego. It is the end of trying to get somewhere, be somebody, arrive somewhere else. What is realized is what is ever present, what is here, what we are, and have always been when we are no longer identified with our conditioned mind. What is here, now, looking out, looking in, aware of this moment's unfolding? When we deeply realize the mystery of our own awake being and do not move away from the unknown we encounter, our mind ceases its searching, its separation, and its belief that it can end illusion. Egoic thought does not know itself as pure awareness. Rather, it is awareness that sees egoic thought. The infinite ocean of awareness awakens itself within its own expression of being. And it is that same awake beingness that will transform our way of being in the world. If we are looking for a permanent state of embodiment or a knowing of pure awareness that is remembered every single moment, we are still operating from the mind of separation. And I take that as remembered. If you're needing to remember, then that's still efforting. It's an efforting. And being is not about any effort at all. When there has been a true awakening, it is the mystery and not the me that then begins to transform our thoughts, our heart, and our actions. It is at this point that many seekers move away from what they have realized and return to the mind to try to figure out how to live from this truth. However, as soon as we go back to the mind's thoughts about how, we have departed from the mystery of being, which is the source and agent of living more deeply, directly, and simply from what we are. So this often becomes a source of confusion, and many either return to egoic transformation techniques, which are now directed by a spiritualized ego, or they become passive rather than grounded in being, which is simultaneously alive, present, intimate with the moment, and functioning with wisdom and compassion. In either case, realization may not truly flower due to our attempts to either control or avoid acting. When we begin to realize the truth of what we are, we may feel that we are free, but our minds, emotions, and our bodies may be acting and reacting from old identifications. It is our deep and sincere devotion to truth and to living from truth that opens the heart and mind and creates willingness for all false views to be deconstructed. Our greatest ally is our own integrity. No one can give us our integrity or take it away. It is ours to care for. The truth within sees untruth, but without self-judgment. Seeing as it does, no separate self to be judged. This process begins when we realize what we are. But how far are we willing to let that realization take us? Realization does not create a new identity. It keeps shedding old ones. In the spiritual life, we are not seeking to transcend our human experience, but to fully express the truth of our being through it. When we want authenticity more than we want to maintain an image, freedom will lead the way. A new heading here, enlightenment as intimacy. Zen Master Dogen, considered the 51st patriarch of Zen, once gave a very simple description of enlightenment. Enlightenment is simply intimacy with all things. And he went on to say, not knowing is most intimate. We think we know something when we can name it, pull a word or concept from memory to describe a thing, a person, a feeling, a flower, a self. Without making words and concepts wrong, can we investigate experience before adding the mind's likes, dislikes, judgments, associations, and concepts to the bare and intimate reality of now? What is our experience when we are deeply present to what is present before us or within us? Intimacy cannot be a memory, because memory is imported from past experience, and true intimacy is touching the world exactly as it is now, without separation. Can we touch with our own intimate awareness the stars exactly as they are, our skin exactly as it is, a feeling exactly as it is, an encounter exactly as it is, without the need to add a story or create a drama or claim a self being intimate? Can we live with the usefulness of memory without using it to prop up another concept about awakening or about a separate self? Can we allow judgment to gently be replaced by the intimate experience of now, knowing the transformation of our habitual patterns of mind do not end with a moment of awakening, but gradually become more and more transparent as we return again and again to the realm of timeless, to the willingness not to know something only as a concept. Not knowing, in this sense, is most intimate indeed. New heading, living without a map. To the Western mind, living without a goal, without a map, having nowhere to go and nothing to do, sounds like sheer madness. Boring at best, lazy, irresponsible, uncaring, and an invitation to chaos at worst. But nothing could be further from the truth. It might mean we are finally available for truth to move spontaneously within us, allowing action to come from the dimension of our being that is at peace. Doing is coming from being. It does not mean living stupidly or passively or being unable to make plans. It means not being attached to those plans. It means being open to what is here now rather than judging it, being curious rather than fearful about this moment's expression. It means being authentic, real, engaged, and intimate with experience. To live from our natural state means discovering that there is no map for how to live. The voice that always asked how has been quieted, and we are living more and more directly from the mystery that is whole and undivided. This mystery of our being is deeply and unflinchingly present to the moment as it appears, and thus can move with an intelligence, wisdom, compassion, and love unknown to the mind that seeks to be in control. We always imagined we would find peace and happiness when we had perfected our ego. What a shock to learn that there isn't one. We never imagined that what is awake is what is free, not some shiny image of how the world or the me should look. The mind that is always attempting to be in control, improve the world, self, and the so-called other frequently serves as the agent of division, even when it is trying to help. When we realize there is no separation, help will automatically be transmitted by the quality of our being, not by our assuming a superior role of helper. When we have seen beyond a broken world or the dream of a wounded identity to the wholeness beyond being or non-being, that in itself invites more healing than can be told. Perhaps we can begin to realize that living from our deepest knowing is being truly alive in the present moment and being intimately aware within it. Maybe life is neither a problem to be solved nor a destination, but an endlessly unfolding creation moment to moment. By all means, if you want to drive to an unknown destination in your car, use a map. But if you want truth, be guided from the deep, silent source within that gives the mind no security, but rather continually invites it to the unknown and to the lifelong adventure of living openly now. There you have it.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
All right. Oh, I'm going to scoot back over here a little bit.
All right.
You good there? Space.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Sure. Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to talk to you guys about. They're saying great reading, by the way, Tom.
Thank you.
Because I have, was my intent to highlight what I wanted to share with you, focus on specifically from the article, but I have highlighted the whole article, so that that didn't do us much good, but man, it's a good one. We included in the announcement of today's talk, and I'm sure Dawn will include it in the, when she posts the recording, a link to the article. So thanks, Dawn. So I highly encourage you to go back and take a look at the article itself, because it's a doozy, as you heard. Okay, so let me just start looking at these highlights. Tom emphasized, who wrote that again? It's from a woman named Dorothy Hunt. And I don't think I printed the part about who she is or what she's doing. She's a president, minister, advising minister of some organization. I think that the article itself came from the Science and Non-Duality website. So maybe that's actually a good place to start, because I had been talking with Regina a little bit about what my talk was going to be about. She said something, I'm like, that's the name of the talk, Living the Truth. And so, that occurs to me too, Kathy, that Dorothy would be a good, satsang, guest. Founder of the San Francisco Center for Meditation and Psychotherapy, Ron writes, and serves as spiritual director and president of Moon Mountain Sangha, Inc. Thanks, Ron, for getting that information. Okay, so anyway, so I type in what was clearly, you know, was clear in my mind, the name of today's talk and the words like non-duality, and this article comes up. And notice again that my title was Living the Truth. What came up was living from our deepest knowing. And so it's just, it's just such a gift, right? As if I asked inner wisdom, tell me about living from the truth. And it said, okay, here you go. Here's an article that'll tell you all about it. The irony here for me is that, that is, the perfect demonstration of, living from truth or living the truth. The willingness to live from that, from the heart. And we talk about that a lot, living from the heart. But really, living for me, what I'm finding is living from the heart is really the willingness to ask the heart or ask inner wisdom everything, everything. What's my topic? Who's my reader? What song should be played? And, you know, it sounds a little trite, maybe, a little like, yeah, we know that. Live, yeah, ask about everything. But what I'm really finding is that it's a posture. It's a way of relating to the world, like, talking about living without a map. Actually, it's like that's the root we go to first. We go to the heart first, and then everything blossoms from there. Whereas the old habit is to live from here. Well, let me think about this, and then after I get everything set, then I'll ask for guidance on what it is I want to do. Yeah, now that I've decided what I want, guidance, tell me how to get it. Was my old way of being. This is just a different way of being. And I can tell you that when I asked, again, in that posture, it's not necessarily like I go, oh, tell me what, you know, it's a posture. When I asked within what the music should be, I heard a snippet of a Natalie Merchant song. And I thought, you know, you guys may know I used to karaoke a lot. I thought it was, and she's got some great songs. There's one I used to karaoke, and I listened to it first, and I thought, oh, that must be it. But I got to tell you that it's so interesting to just hear. I could hear her singing when I asked the question. And then came across this song that we did play, Life is Sweet. And of course, the lines from that song, life is so very short, but life is sweet, you know, is just perfect for what we're looking at here today. Just have that appear in the mind. I mean, it's miraculous. It's all a miracle. It's all a miracle. We just, as the article told us, we just have to open to the miracle, open to the possibility of seeing life as a miracle. And so, I don't know how well y'all are hearing me. Anyhow, let me take a drink and regroup here. Good. Thank you, Don. Okay, so let's look at some of what Dorothy Hunt told us in her article, Living from Our Deepest Knowing. These first two sentences, again, Tom emphasized. But, man, when I was telling him about the reading, I'm like, the first two sentences will absolutely blow your socks off. So let's look at them again. Experientially, there is no realization without being, which is a cessation of becoming. Paradoxically, there is no flowering of that realization without becoming, which is our willingness to be transformed by our realization. And a couple of things occur to me here. Mine's trying to get in there and read that sentence. A couple of things occur to me here. And one is the prescription. Well, you've heard We heard Bob Newhart say it last week, just stop it, right? We've heard Gangaji talk about how when she found her teacher, Papaji, he told her, just stop. And so, and Gangaji's telling him the story. She's like, stop. Okay, I'll stop. Now, how do I stop? What do I do? And how does one actually stop? And how do I prepare to go about stopping? And it's just stop. And really, while that teaching can be bastardized to, you know, oh, you don't have to do anything, everybody's already awake, that's not the point. The real point is that, and we've heard this talked about so often, this idea of living in the now. Okay, how do I live in the now? How do I prepare to live in the now? What do I need to be aware of while I'm living in the now? How do I do this, right? I mean, and that's where... that's the mind trying to become awakened. And the stop is in the no longer turning to the mind to tell us how to do anything. Let me see if I can find that. It was certainly in here. Dorothy Hunt says, however, as soon as we go back to the mind's thoughts about how, we have departed from the mystery of being, which is the source and agent of living more deeply, directly, and simply from what we are. So the moment we try to figure it out, we're off in the wrong direction. So Gangaji's advice from Papaji to stop is really what this is all about. And it's not stop the practices. It's just stop. Be aware. Listen. Rest in that awareness. Listen. Listen. And it's from here that we appreciate the intimacy with all things. It's not about how do I become intimate with life. It's about resting here and experiencing the intimacy of life. Again, Dorothy says, paradoxically, there is no flowering of that realization without becoming, which is our willingness to be transformed by our realization. So the realization, and we've each had it, is that we be, we are, we live. And that's a realization that we return to again and again and again so that we can experience our beingness, just our beingness. Dorothy Hunt says, what is realized is what is ever present, what is here, what we are and have always been. When we are no longer identified with our conditioned mind. So how do we become unidentified with our conditioned mind? Again, I'll go back to the Bob Newhart skit, right? Just stop it. just stop going, and Locke Kelly talks about going up to the mind. Just stop going up to the mind for directions. Excuse me, mind, how do I get from here to there? just remember that that's not what we want to do, that's what we've always done. And that's why we're always, you know, that fish swimming in the water going, hey, where's the water? It's because we've gone off on the wrong, you know, we've taken the wrong jag at the beginning of the journey. We just remember to rest in our being, rest without knowing how, without needing to know how, without trying to figure anything out. Dorothy says, when we deeply realize the mystery of our own awake being, which is as simple as just stopping, and do not move away from the unknown we encounter, our mind ceases its searching, its separation, and its belief that it can end illusion. You know, we've heard for years, of course, oh, the ego's never going to get this. Ego's never going to wake up. But it keeps trying, and it keeps trying to direct us. Well, how do I stay in this space? Well, how do I do this when, you know, somebody says something mean to me or I encounter a situation that I don't like, you know? You know, it's like I hear my mother saying it in my head, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right? I'm just going to stay here now. pardon me. She says, egoic thought does not know itself as pure awareness. Rather, it is awareness that sees egoic thought. The infinite ocean of awareness awakens itself within its own expression of being. And it is that same awake beingness that will transform our way of being in the world. So how do I do it? By not doing, by not efforting, by not trying to figure it out. I do it by resting in my beingness. Awareness awakens itself. Awareness awakens itself. All I got to do is get out of the way. Well, how do I get out of the way? You know, maybe if I, you know, do the, no. Again, Bob Newhart, just stop it. Just stop it. Awareness awakens itself within its own expression of being. And it is that same awake beingness that will transform our way of being in the world. So again, this isn't about how we, you know, oh, well, I'm going to act this way, or next time this happens, I'm going to do that, or we're going to drop the planning. We're going to drop. What we're dropping is the mind's conception of what it means to be awake. Mind doesn't know. Mind will never know. On the same theme, Dorothy Hunt says, it is the mystery and not the me that then begins to transform our thoughts, our hearts, and our actions. She says, you know, then we'll go, oh yeah, how did I do that? Once you have the experience, oh yeah, how did I do that? And then you'll get back into the mind. She says, again, as soon as we go back to the mind's thoughts about how, we have departed from the mystery of being. Which is the source and agent. You see, that's why all we have to do is rest there. Yeah, because it is what we are. And it will flood everything. as we allow it to do so. The mystery of being, which is the source and agent of living more deeply, directly, and simply from what we are. Let me just see where we are. One second. I told you that I was going to talk today. My discussion would include a discussion of our unfortunate tendency to make exceptions in living the truth, to be inconsistent in our application, I think I said, of the practices. Let's see where I want to pick up on this. So let me read again from the article. She says that we continue to act and react from old identifications. She says it's our deep and sincere devotion to truth and to living from truth that opens the heart and mind and creates willingness for all false views to be deconstructed. And so I think many of us, my history of being on the spiritual path, so to speak, for all these years, is that I have not always been consistent. I haven't always lived from the truth. I've made exceptions, you know. Well, I'm spiritual. Oh, but look, that's got to be taken care of. Let me run off and, you know, there's an exception, I think, in the mind. The mind wants to make these exceptions. And, you know, it's like, well, I know what inner wisdom would have me do, but, you know, boy, that really makes me boring. I'm going to go ahead and engage in this rumor, you know, discussion, or I'm going to, you know, express my opinions about what's going on in the world and what ought to be going on in politics. And so I'm just going to participate just for a little while. I'm going to do that, right? Because otherwise I'm boring. Or, you know, I might decide to chuck all this spiritual stuff out the window when it comes to getting my way. Yeah, well, that, you know, I'm spiritual most of the time, but here's a principle here, and I'm gonna get what I want. And he shouldn't have done this, and I'm gonna do right. I'm gonna make an exception. Or I know what inner wisdom might tell me just to rest here, but. I'm too uncomfortable to do that. I'm too afraid. Let me go take an action to make this situation right, right? To get the outcome that I want. So we talk a lot about the idea of surrender. And it seems that when we talk about surrender, we're talking about surrendering to some other force, some other entity, some other something. When the reality is, what surrender is surrendering to this present moment, right? Giving up my ideas about what ought to be, what could be, what should be, what would be better. To just be with what is, whatever it is, including my fear, my need to be right. The possibility of being boring. So surrender is just being in this moment, just dropping into this being. When I say being in this moment, it's not an outward focus. It's that inward posture. It's that through the heart posture of just being. So it's surrendering that tendency to want to figure it out. It's surrendering that belief that something could be better, something should be different. She talked about it. It's funny because this phrase kept coming in, up in my head. Let me see if I can find it. As the shiny object, you know, that squirrel tendency, right? Be here. I don't really see that. I don't see it in the writing. I do see this line. True intimacy is touching the world exactly as it is now, without separation. She says, can we allow judgment, which is what all of that is, right? Things should be this way. Things should be this way, not actually how they are. But by the way, I want to be enlightened. Well, I need things to be this way. She says, can we allow judgment to gently be replaced by the intimate experience of now? Just resting in beingness. Knowing, and here's the key, knowing that transformation of our habitual patterns of mind do not end with a moment of awakening, but gradually become more and more transparent as we return again and again to the realm of timeless, to the realm of the timeless, to the willingness not to know something only as a concept. That's all this guy, this mind guy, is ever going to do, is going to turn everything into a concept. So when we live through the mind, that's what we're living in, a world of concepts, arm's length from what's actually going on. And our concepts generally involve, well, this ought to be going on instead of what's actually going on, or this is how it went on last time, or this is how it would work best for me. Those are all, they're all concepts. You're not living in a real world there. You're living in a world of concepts. And we do that because of our habitual stance to relate to world through here, through this mind, instead of living from the truth, from living from our deepest knowing, which is living from here. And you all know how to do it. We do it all the time. We sit down in the morning and we meditate and we have that feeling and we know that feeling and we experience the truth of our being, and then we get up off the meditation cushion and we start from here. We live from here. And so what we're being told to do is to surrender that way of being to this, and to just live from here, our hearts. And quit going back to the mind and say, now what do I do? And going to the heart and saying, now what do I do? So that our focus becomes, our focus is not on our effort, but on our awareness. And so let's just talk about this for a minute on this on this spiritual seeming journey, which I think I'm telling you right now, it's not a journey. but we want to figure out how to get from here to here. We want to effort, and as we're hearing from every quarter, it's not about effort. It's about effortlessness. It's about being aware of what the habitual self does. It's not about trying to change the habitual self, because the only one that would change the habitual self is the habitual self, who wants something different, who wants something better. It's about awareness. And she said that. She said, egoic thought does not, and I would add cannot, know itself as pure awareness. Rather, it is awareness that sees egoic thought. So what we're being invited to do is to dip into this awareness, to be in this awareness again and again and again. And that's what sees the fading of the old ways of being, the habitual ways of being. And again, we do that by living from our hearts, by going there first, by living from there out into the world, by learning to be intimate with the world exactly as it is now. Again, I'm going to read you this sentence again. Can we allow judgment to gently be replaced by the intimate experience of now, knowing that transformation of our habitual patterns of mind do not end with a moment of awakening, but gradually become more and more transparent as we return again and again to the realm of the timeless, to the willingness not to know something only as a concept. So when we talk about making exceptions, we're talking about living outside of the moment, right? We're talking about living in those concepts. When this holy instant, when this intimacy with life, when this awake awareness is always present. So again, to go back to Natalie Merchant's song, life is so very short, life is sweet. It is sweet. It is sweet. Live it now. You know, it's not off in the future somewhere. When I quit being so judgmental, when I get more whatever, it's now. It's right now. And you can go there right now and be there right now, always now. So let me play a little bit of a closing song. I think it's a long one, so I may have to cut it off in the middle. So here we go.
Love is but a song we sing. First we will die. You can make mountains ring or make angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know why. Some may go, he will surely pay his. When the one that left us yet returns for us at least, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grey.
If you hear the song I sing, you will understand. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
Can you hear me now? Okay, good. I'm getting a weird something on my computer. Anyhow, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share with you guys today. I should have said that, and I don't know if Don posted or not, we would also like to give you the opportunity to donate to Awakening Together. As you know, we operate on your donations. And if Don hasn't already posted the link, she will post. There it is, the link to donate to Awakening Together. And now I'm going to turn it over to you guys. It's your opportunity to speak. So please take the opportunity to do so.
Okay. I took it. Jacqueline, I'll tell you, you know, it's so obvious that you were completely guided to move where you moved, because, I mean, you're just like, when I hear you, I have that, the confidence of this, the self showed up for me within a Ramana, and I was told inside that that's who I was, you know, the awareness, and I have been fighting it off and on for the last couple of years because of my, I didn't trust inner wisdom. Like I, and that has to do with my ego, really, because the ego, you know, is still doing stuff. But, you know, your clarity on Wednesdays, I love it because it's experiential. And you and Regina together are just amazing teachers, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And thank you, Tom.
All right. Well, Hal wants to speak. So, Hal, if you would like to take the mic right now, that would be an awesome time. And then we'll go ahead and transition right after Hal speaks onto our fellowship half hour that is hosted by Reverend Jay McCormick. So, Hal, please take the mic.
Can you hear me? All right. Well, I guess Jacqueline wants to be in the silence. Right? Thank you, Jackie. I find it very interesting that I had one of those aha moments yesterday, and that your message this morning fit very well with it. But what came to me yesterday was that in my seeking, my awakening or my enlightenment, that I was in a sense denying myself. If I'm looking for something, then I'm looking outwards or looking somewhere. And again, if I'm not in the moment, I'm denying that moment. And I found it very interesting that from seeking, there's a lot that follows. It's kind of like a cause and effect. And of course, we find that cause and effect is the what causes the illusion of time. We think one thing leads to another. But in the now, there is no time. There is no cause and effect. I also found out that in my seeking, I always had questions. I was wanting to figure things out, solve problems to the point of ad nauseum. And if I quit seeking, The only thing left is me. So thank you for your message. Very appropriate.
Thank you, Hal. yeah, I don't know what's going on with this thing. I'm having to hold the space bar down, and then it seems to only work for a minute. It looks like it's time for our fellowship half hour. So I appreciate everybody. I appreciate Tom, who's gone to make breakfast. And I appreciate each and every one of you guys. Thanks for letting me share. And I'll turn this back over to Dawn.